You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Always Aggravated, a Mike Valenti signature podcast.
So this week on Always Aggravated, a fun note. Charles Davis of NFL Network joins us, and he heads up their mock drafts. But little did we know, Charles was actually with one of my best friends as we want to record, because Charles does the audio for Madden, the video game, and one of my best friends is one of the head producers of that game. Total happenstance, but we managed to ruin my friend's workday by stealing Charles. We talk NFL draft, the mock, situations. It's a deep dive of football joy. Enjoy it next. So not only are you one of the prevalent voices on Madden, the most popular video game in history, obviously NFL Network, you are now their mock draft guru. But before we get into it, I have to bring this up. This is something I need to understand. You are now, along with Peyton Manning, a Tennessee Sports Hall of Famer. Now, what type of perks go along with this? Do you get an orange blazer? What happens? Because Lord knows, my state and my alma mater are never making me a Hall of Famer.
Well, I don't think any of that is going to happen. It's the state of Tennessee, so they're not going to just lock in on the university, even though, you know, we dominate the state. I think that they're going to try and keep it as neutral as possible, but that was quite a surprise, to put it mildly. I did not see that one coming. And then I was like, Peyton's not in already? What would they have been waiting for?
Yeah, would they space out?
I thought Peyton went in his freshman year in Tennessee. I'm kind of surprised it took so long.
Is there a ceremony? Do you get something for this? Or
apparently there's a ceremony. I'm waiting to get all the details, but it's Father's Day weekend in Nashville. And, you know, we're all supposed to be there for that, but I don't know anything beyond that at this time.
They better send the private plane.
It's just a major shock to even have this. Because when I first got it, I didn't believe it at all. I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. I figured it was one of my friends playing a prank. And it turns out, oh, really? So it's a pretty good crew going in. I'm going in with a couple of my coaches from college, you know, and Carol Lawson, who played at Tennessee, and right on down the line.
Yeah, works for ESPN now, correct? She's on the women's basketball coverage?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, she was a great player. I think she's a 3-time All-American.
Charles, I think you just got a big time. And if they don't send the G6, you're not showing up.
Then I'm not showing up.
Leverage.
I did check with Peyton because, you know, he's in like every Hall of Fame that ever existed. He told me plans to be there. So I thought maybe he might just send the video, you know, the classic video. Hey, wish I could be there.
Yeah.
I decided to stay at home.
I just want to thank everybody. This means so much.
Everybody, appreciate it. Glad you guys are there, but I'm not. But he told me plans to go. So.
Well, let's. I want to ask you this because, you know, mock drafts are a funny thing. How much time do you put in before you release your mock?
Way more time than I ever plan to.
Mm-hmm.
Way more time than I ever expect. I think what happens is I can't speak for anyone else who does a mock, and frankly, you're pretty much speaking for everyone who follows the NFL, you know, when you say who does a mock, because nowadays, and I'll give you a quick background on this thing. I've been doing the NFL draft coverage now since 2006, so a decent amount of time. And during my time, it's always been Radio City Music Hall before we started moving it around different places. Back in the good old days, which seem like ancient days now, I used to go to the draft, and if I so chose, I could literally walk out of every draft with 20 to 30 binders where people have said, hey, take a look at my mock, take a look at my, you know, my projections, take a look at what I think team needs are, I mean, the whole deal.
Yeah.
And it'd be these nice notebooks and binders, and people really work that. Well, now, because it's so much easier, you can just, you know, you know, put it on your Twitter account. You can put it on your Instagram, right? You can go on the internet. You can email it out. And we all get a chance to do it because the information flow is so much better now than ever before. And fans have a better opportunity to gain access to that information. I mean, let's be honest, guys. Whoever would have thought that in our lifetime we would be able to have access to coaches' tape? Because, you know, as broadcasters, as a guy who calls games, that used to be my trump card. Okay.
Yeah, now everybody's got the all 22.
Right. I mean, you know, no matter what argument I was having with someone, or let's put it, no matter what discussion I was having with someone, I could always end it with, oh, yeah, but I watched four games of game day. You know, all 22 coaches, sorry, you didn't. Well, guess what? They can counter with, well, I watched every game now. Now, whether we're watching it the same way or not, that's always up to debate because it's subjective. They may see things I don't see and blah, 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 blah. But you can't just go, hey, fans, guess what? I have something you don't have. They have the same info we have. So the idea that we're above a fan now is almost preposterous. We have to make sure we're really on our P's and Q's and know what we're doing and bringing something that they feel like they're getting a benefit because they're watching it themselves. So that's my long-winded way of saying I put a lot of time into these things. You know, when I sit down to do them, the whole idea is, oh, yeah, him here, him here, him here, him here. Oh, but what if he goes? And as soon as that starts, they're like, yep, here we go. We're going to be here for a while. So the amount of time, I can't tell you. But when you say hours, no question about it. Hours go into it. It's not a matter of a 15-minute deal, 1 through 32, and here we are. And I don't do trades. I don't do anything like that because those things are going to take care of themselves. And some guys do that, and some women do that, and it's understandable because sometimes you kind of mix it up. I just go straight 1 through 32 or whatever number of teams are in the first round of the draft and pick accordingly and try and do it off the best information I have. And sometimes it's my own gut is the wrong word, but sometimes I really think this guy really belongs with this team. Or occasionally you get a tip from someone, hey, they really like this guy. You know, years ago, I actually put down a player. I'm not going to say who it was because I'm going to give away my teams. But I put down a player in my first mock draft that very few people, if anyone, had. Okay? And now let's be honest with you. Everybody has an idea. But in this one, it was very few people had it. And I'm going to say very few. It might have just been me. I got a call from that team. They went, where did you get this? And I went, it was just me projecting. I mean, I just look at it and whatever. I haven't talked to anyone. They're like, you haven't talked to anyone? They were actually thinking there was a leak in their team.
The level of paranoia in the NFL.
No, not at all. This is just my own thing. And they were like, can you do us a favor? Can you not do that again?
Jeez.
And it turned out that person went in that spot to that team.
Sure.
It just worked out. And I'm not going to say it like, hey, this is every year.
No.
Sometimes you get fortunate and you get it, and you get it right. But as I know, I'm not the only one. It's not every thought that we have doing these mocks are not original thoughts.
So you start at the top. It's funny you say that. Like I don't know. Like the minute Arizona hired Kingsbury, I said that's Kyler Murray. Like that's
right.
Cliff Kingsbury did not go there to coach a pro style guy in Rosen, and the Cardinals didn't hire Cliff Kingsbury to move forward. I mean, you have Kyler one, but I know you have Haskins ahead of Kyler Murray. So this is based on fit, correct?
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think that you summarized it perfectly. You know, when they first hired Cliff Kingsbury, you know, we all kind of took a step back, right? It doesn't matter where you were in the league. You went, Cliff Kingsbury. I mean, he just lost his job at Texas Tech. Mm-hmm. He's sub 500 at Texas Tech. He was getting offers to be offensive coordinator, not head coach in college football. What the heck? And then as you pointed out, okay, if you're gonna hire Cliff Kingsbury to really shake up what you're doing with your franchise,
gotta go all in.
Right. There's no sense now in saying, no, something, we already have a quarterback and we're gonna make this work with them. Now, there's still a discussion. I think I just read Peter King's column this morning where he's like, listen, I talked with some people down there, it's not unanimity about getting Kyler Murray. But if Steve Keim, the GM, wants Kyler Murray along with the head coach, then it's likely it's gonna be Kyler Murray. So yes. It's fit for me, but you notice with my rankings of these players, okay, I think you're referring to my first round grades that I gave guys. Haskins is one step ahead of Murray if not a huge gap for me, but I am a bigger proponent of those quarterbacks who play from the pocket. I'm not saying moving around isn't a good thing. It's a very good thing. But Kyler may have to move a little bit more than the norm. And if it's not Kingsbury's style of offense, I'm trying to figure out where he fits. Well, he fits perfectly in Arizona.
I'm right.
And could you imagine if Arizona doesn't take him now?
Well,
I mean, I just can't imagine their fan base. Because right now, it has pretty much been sold that Kyler Murray's going to Arizona. If they make a move other than him now, I think their fan base may very well be like, what the heck?
All right, a quick break just to talk about our launch sponsor. It's the D Las Vegas. You're looking to get away, relax, have a good time. D Las Vegas has everything you need. I mean, hell, we're there every March for March Madness. And as I've said before, there ain't no better setup. On the strip, off the strip, it don't matter. Go to the D, go to that chalet upstairs. It ain't nothing better. Bottom line, next time you go to Vegas, check out thed.com. Completely renovated. Downtown is not what you remember. Hell of a lot of new places. It's a damn good time. There's really no other way to put it. And again, the D has everything you need. You're not going to spend a ton of money on the room. Take that money and go do fun things with it. Do what Sully does. Make a bunch of losing basketball bets. Or for Sully, fall asleep on the horse racing machine on the second floor vintage casino. The bottom line, the D's got it all. They got the sports book. They got the long bar. They got it all. Check it out. TheD.com to book your stay today. It's TheD.com, the D Las Vegas. And as you know, it is your home for Detroit sports in Vegas. Charles, here's the problem. They had a chance to put an end to this and make Rosen their guy. They didn't do it. There's too many stories, too many rumors. The problem is, now we are headed to the draft. Are they going to move Rosen and get an asset for this draft? What are they doing?
I think that they're going to have to. I just don't see, you know, they kind of floated the story recently and two things. One I saw where Cliff Kingsbury gave an interview or was in a discussion and praised Josh Rosen to the skies. And truthfully, I think Josh Rosen can play in Cliff Kingsbury's offense because you just have to maneuver a few things and tweak a few things. Everything isn't a movement play. Okay, it's not all just, you know, quarterbacks on the run and what have you. If you look at the quarterbacks he's played with, not all of them are super athletes.
No.
Okay, so it can work, but the way that this has gone down, I don't think that you can risk having both of them in your quarterback room. And what I mean is, they're not going to be throwing chairs at each other, but why are you going to have two guys that expect to play in the same room, especially at their age? Josh Rosen would not be a very good clipboard guy.
No.
And he's not of the age to be a mentor. He's going to need to play somewhere. So I think that the night before the draft, and, you know the old adage about the phone call, right? You know how we always do the, hey, there's the phone call to such and such. He knows he's going to wherever. And it seems a little odd at times, right? Like, why? What do they need a phone call for? Well, you know what that phone call originated with, don't you? To make sure that guy you're picking is actually alive on this earth. That you're not picking a guy that is no longer with us or has been injured or whatever, right? You got a call and said that was in the good old days.
Yeah.
Physically know that was happening. So that's where the tradition was born, and that's where we are now. But, I mean, let's just call it as it is. There's no way. I think there's very little chance that Josh Rosen doesn't get traded. And I think it'll be the night before the draft when they're reasonably certain that the next day Kyler Murray is going to be there.
Now for
and
fun.
And that's when I think it's going to go down because I think his value, Josh Rosen's value, actually drops.
Absolutely.
Once the draft begins.
Absolutely.
They've got to get this done ahead of time. And I think, frankly, the bidding starts with a second round pick. And then we'll see how much bidding there is. And then take a look at those teams that may be in line for a quarterback and see if they have extra picks throughout the middle rounds. Do they have extra threes? Do they have extra fours? Do they have extra fives? Because I think after you start with a two, you may need a sweetener or two.
Where do you think he lands?
What teams have those assets?
Where do you think he lands? No, I don't care if you end up getting this right.
Yeah.
I just, you know, you've got a feeling. So don't lie to me and say you have no idea. Josh Rosen's going to be the starting quarterback. Where? Where's he getting dealt?
I think Washington.
Interesting.
And it's not, again, this is not the original come-off-the-pace deal. Just look at Washington's draft assets this year, guys. Mm-hmm. They have multiple threes, I believe. that's why I'm saying that sweetener's in there, because I think everyone's willing to give up a two. I don't think anyone's willing to give up a one. See, that's where the difference is in all of this. And no, Arizona knows, I should say no, and Arizona understands, they're not getting back what they put into Josh Rosen.
No, never.
You're not getting that back.
Moved up to get him.
It wasn't just to move up. To move up plus a couple extra picks. So you're not getting anywhere close to that. You kind of let that go. Can we get anything for him? It starts at a two, as I said, with a sweetener. I see multiples there with Washington. And it's a tough and interesting deal because Jake Gruden is truly in a place now as the head coach of Washington of win now.
Yeah.
See, the last 2 years have been somewhat forgiven because of injuries. I don't think, no matter what injuries happen this year, I don't think you get a third year forgiven. Okay? It's just the way the world works. But at the same time for him, do I get a young quarterback that I'm quote-unquote starting over with? Or do they view Josh Rosen as a plug-and-play and we should be able to go right now? Because that'd be the question I'd ask if I'm Jay Gruden. Hey, if I'm getting Josh Rosen, let's say that this happens. Now I'm getting a brand new quarterback, guys, a young quarterback coming in. Do we get a little grace period with that? Because that's what you're going to ask for. I'm pretty sure Washington at this stage is not going to give any grace period.
No.
Coach him up if you get him. But look at who they have now. Right now you're talking about going into battle with Case Keenum and Colt McCoy coming off of injury. To me, Josh Rosen makes a lot of sense. If they feel like he can be that guy and fit into their locker room, et cetera, et cetera.
So let me ask you this, and then we'll kind of move towards the rest of your mock. But if you had to put Rosen in this year's draft class with Haskins, with Murray, with Daniel Jones, you know, Will Greer, where would Rosen rank among these quarterbacks if he was coming out right now?
Arm talent, all that other stuff ahead of them.
Interesting.
Where you run into the issues with Josh, when you call them issues, the challenges. You know how we've had all this conversation recently about Aaron Rodgers and how he related to Mike McCarthy and will Matt LaFleur relate to him? And,
yeah.
You know, it all boils down to if you're not as smart as Aaron, or if Aaron doesn't perceive you as smart on his level, you may struggle with that because he's a very intelligent guy. I think there's something to be said of that with Josh Rosen.
Mm-hmm.
And it shouldn't be viewed as a negative, but oftentimes it still is because you know our culture. You know, think about when we were kids and there was that one smart kid who kept asking questions or kept pointing out things were not quite right, whether it was on the athletic field or in a classroom. And eventually the teacher would get frustrated and go, because I said so.
Yeah.
Or you're not as smart as you think you are, young man. Right. That sort of thing. I think Josh may have run into some of that along the way. And you're going to need to really challenge this guy. And he's going to need to be challenged. And there's nothing wrong with that, because if you can harness that with that arm, you get yourself a player. And I thought he did. I thought overall, I only had him one time last year, guys. I thought he did a nice job with us in our production meeting. And you remember one of the other things that people questioned about him was his toughness.
He got killed.
He got clobbered last year. And we had him against the Rams late. And the Rams needed a win. Remember when the Rams were so-called struggling down the stretch?
Yeah, didn't Arizona score like the first seven of the game and the Rams ripped off like 40 in a row?
The Rams ripped off about the next 800.
Yep.
And Aaron Donald just sacked him again. You know, I think Aaron got four that day. It was that kind of a day for him. But he actually did get hurt. And I opened up my big yap in the booth and said, get him out. He's your asset. Because, you know, Kyler Murray wasn't on the horizon yet. He's your guy going forward. Don't keep letting him get beat up in this ball game. And he fought to stay in the ball game. They let him go another couple series. I thought those were points in his favor. I thought that was good for him to show the rest of the league that he wasn't going to just sit there and accept it and go ahead, okay, I'm good for today. I think he broke some chains last year, which was good for him. But the bottom line is he's not going to be a kid that you can bring in and say, hey, sit around for a while.
No.
He's not built that way.
All right. I want to move to number four. Now, others will go based on need. Let's play true or false. True or false, though, Quinnen Williams the best player in this draft, and you have him mocked at four to the Raiders.
False for me.
Okay.
But he's up there in that discussion. I can see, you know, like at the end of the day, I'm not going to throw a chair in the room and go, absolutely not, he's not the best player in the draft. But he's not for me.
Okay.
I like Bosa as my number one player.
Mm-hmm.
But we're really splitting some hairs here, aren't we?
Well, they're two different players. I mean, one is your prototypical, you know, 4-3 end. The other's a tackle.
He's your Aaron Donald, which you're looking for, right? Not to say he's exactly like that, but right, we always comp players. And this is, if you're saying, what does he do? He does a lot of things Aaron Donald does. He wrecks the game from inside. Bosa is off the edge, but here's what I think, and again, my opinion only. Well, I should say only, but this is my opinion that I'm very strong on. I think that if Bosa stays healthy throughout his 16 games next year, and let's say he goes to San Francisco at 2, I think he'll do a good bit of his damage inside a nickel and sub situation, moving inside next to a guy like DeForest Buckner. Because I think he can win there. He's the most technically proficient pass rusher in this draft. I mean, when you watch the tape and watch his pass rushes, it's not just him bullying over people. It's not him just beating people up.
He's got great hands.
His hands are off the charts. I keep coming back to it. And look, this kid from Oregon State is not likely to play in the NFL. But we have to keep remembering, most kids who are playing in college are not likely to play in the NFL. We keep acting like, oh, well, you got it against this guy. Well, most of the guys you play against aren't going to be there. It's just the way of the world, okay? I was a pretty decent college player. I didn't play in the NFL. Doesn't mean I was a bad football player at the time. Just meant I wasn't an NFL player. Well, this one pass rush, Bosa grabs the inside arm of – no, the outside arm of the offensive tackle and essentially takes it and wraps it into his body and darn near spins him. Like, remember the old battling tops?
Mm-hmm.
Darn near spins him that way, and by the time the kid gets done spinning, Bosa's sitting on the quarterback. He's just very technically proficient, and a lot of that comes from his older brother, comes from his dad, and you might remember his uncle Eric Kumaro, who went to Ohio State as an All-American high school quarterback and left there as an All-American linebacker and a first-round pick with the Dolphins. That's a family that, like, when we play the turkey bowls in our households on Thanksgiving Day, that family did pass rush drills. It's just different.
Yeah, they had the dummies out there.
they did pass rush drills. There was none of this playing pickup and touch football and all that. They were like, who can sack the quarterback? And they probably had a whistle and a horn and 2.3 seconds to get to the quarterback.
Right, grandma's wearing a placard with a number on it, like the whole business.
Guarantee grandma had great feet out at left tackle. She could probably dance on the edge and make it a little tough on them. But you're exactly right. They all went out there and that's what they did.
Hey guys, Sully here, and I want to talk to you about our friends over at Copper Craft Distillery, Holland, Michigan. If you haven't tried Copper Craft yet, just check them out. Local retailers, local restaurants, ask for Copper Craft, whether you like their bourbon, their gin, vodka, whiskey, got all sorts of stuff. I've tried basically all of it. It's really, really good. And also, I'm sure you've heard the news. They're now at Comerica Park this year, right field. If you're going down to a Tigers game, make sure you swing by right field, stop by the Copper Craft Bar. Check it out. I've had plenty of my friends try it. It's really, really good, really smooth, and you're going to love the way that Copper Craft tastes, whatever your go-to is. Like I said, whether it is the bourbon, which is my favorite, they do a really, really nice job, and I've toured the distillery before in Holland. I know exactly what goes into how they make these products and all the time and effort they put into it. Yeah, it's worth your time just to at least check it out and give Copper Craft a taste. That's Copper Craft Distillery. Check them out online, coppercraftdistillery.com, or, of course, all over Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all that good stuff on social media. Copper Craft Distillery in Holland, Michigan.
Let's go to number 6. You're ending my life. A, you have the Giants not taking a QB. As a Giants fan, I'm mortified. But you also have them taking the most polarizing guy in this draft in Rashawn Gary.
Yeah.
Explain.
Yeah, the reason I went there is Dave Gettleman is the GM. I don't know him to the extent that I can sit here and say, oh, well, blah, 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 blah. But I do have history. Okay, Coach Gettleman actually coached a rival high school team when I was playing high school football in New York State. Played against him twice. So that's where I first got to know him. Had been lucky enough to be in touch with him over the years and watch his career progress. And one of the things that always reverberates in my mind, whenever I spend time with Coach Dave Gettleman, it usually ends our conversation, or at some point in our conversation, he'll just look at me and go, Charlie, always remember, it'll always be a big man's game. And that always stays with me because I know how he likes players and likes to draft. it's a little bit of a surprise when we took Christian McCaffrey, okay, because of the size of the running back, but he went past that. He also looks for greatness and flashes of that, and will this guy be a big-time player later? I think at that stage, quarterback may not be where they go because he has to be convinced about that. But if he's going defense, and let's be honest, the DNA of the Giants is defense. Throughout the years, you can go back to a guy by the name of Steve Owen, and it was always defense first in New York. Gary is a bigger, thicker guy that they believe they can get the best out of, in my humble opinion.
So you just said
By production, Montez Sweat's the better football player.
There it is. You're going to have to do with Gary the exact same thing you said about Rosen. You have to figure this kid out. And being here in Detroit, I watched every snap of Rashawn Gary's career. My issue is this, and you can slap me down on this. He does not play every play with the intensity necessary to be productive. He disappears for long stretches. And I'm sorry, you show me Montez Sweat, I see production. I see a kid I can plug and play. Gary, he's like a Rubik's Cube. That's what scares me.
Yeah, and I listen, you and I are pretty much aligned on this one. A lot of these mock drafts are not just yourself, is doing it. It's talking to people. It's discussions. It's also patterns.
Yep.
If you believe you have a guy who can get that out of a player, I'm going to give you a quick example. Remember Danielle Hunter?
Yes.
Coming out of LSU?
Yep.
Go back and look at his LSU career numbers, and you'll go, what?
Now he's a nightmare.
And Mike Zimmer's like, no, I can get it out of him. How's that worked out?
You just better be right. That's all I'm going to tell you.
No. Listen, zero disagreement on that. You better be right. But I will tell you this. Montez Sweat had a lot of the same questions going into the run-up of this deal, and he handled it really well at the Senior Bowl. That's where things started to change for Montez Sweat. A lot of the same questions you're asking right now. And if you want to put on a tough film for him, pop in the film against Kansas State in one of the early games last year when you had to deal with Dalton Risner. Dalton Risner had a pretty good day. Okay, Sweat, that wasn't a day where Sweat was just running around people and hitting the quarterback.
Sure.
Dalton Risner's a really good player. But at the Senior Bowl, he took every snap. He was first in line. All the run drills, he hung in there to show people that he would play the run. And I thought that week that went a long way, starting to change things for him, and he continued the momentum at the combine. So we're not even really at loggerheads on it. We're probably pretty well aligned. But it wouldn't surprise me at all that Gary, with a bigger, thicker frame, would fit more of what they're looking for. And again, they could go six right there and go quarterback and pick their flavor. And to me, Dwayne Haskins would be the guy right there in an ideal situation. If you're going to play Eli, it's a great time to get Dwayne Haskins. Because I'm a huge proponent, and I may be against the grain, but when you select a quarterback high, first round, top 10, top whatever it is, I'm not picking him to sit in. Other people are. I am not.
Not anymore.
And history has proven me right in the last 10 years. The most these guys sit is like the first 10 games of the year. Like, how long did Eli sit behind Kurt Warner?
Five weeks.
How long did Josh Freeman sit in Tampa? It was somewhere around week 8, week 9, week 10 at the latest. And how many times? Remember Blake Bortles? Oh, he's going to sit the entire first year. Before he was in the lineup.
No, the days of drafting Steve McNair and sitting him an entire season and then playing in year two, those are days gone by.
Yeah, those are gone. And the other part of it, too, is this. He's a redshirt sophomore. Yeah, I remember that about Dwayne Haskins, with 1 year as a starter. This is an ideal situation for him to go to a place like New York and not have to play right away. And then record will dictate whether you'll put him in the lineup later. If the Giants are contending for a playoff spot, he doesn't play. If the Giants are totally out of it, you run him out there in flex situations and start to get his feet wet. It actually works out pretty well. That's why, to me, Haskins at 6 would make a lot of sense. And I've got one more mock draft to do, and I may bring that back because that was in my first one. So I may bring that one back as well. It makes a ton of sense to me there. But again, we'll have to see what Coach Gettleman and crew are going to want to do, because remember, they've got that second number one pick now that they can parlay a little bit and there may be a quarterback or two still available at 17.
Lions at 8. They've been rumored for T.J. Hockenson. You've got Montez Sweat there. Any chance they go tight end? Is this close, or are you convinced on going edge rush?
No, it is very much an opportunity to go to a T.J. Hockenson there. If somebody somehow takes a Hockenson ahead of time, and remember, and I see it, I like Noah Fant better. I'm way in the minority on that.
Yeah, we're getting there. When I saw Noah Fant at 9 for you to the Bills, I thought it was a misprint. So here, knock them both out in one answer. Go for it.
Yeah, in one spot. Look, Hockenson is your, you know, I get it. Most complete tight end going, can catch the ball downfield. But today's NFL is all about bigger plays, and that's what Fant gives you. I mean, Fant is just a rocked-up wide receiver, man, who can flat-out go. And we talk all we want about tight ends that block. How many of those guys are going to the Pro Bowl versus the guys who can catch and make plays? We talk it all the time. It's just not real, okay? Do we want those guys who can do it? Well, of course we do. But at the end of the day, it's kind of like, is my starting defensive end the Pro Bowl a run stopper, or does he go hit the quarterback? Oh, yeah, okay, we know what the answer is to that. It's the same thing with tight ends. Who catches the football? Who creates big plays downfield? Fant does that. Hockenson can. I'm not saying he can't. And I'll get back to Detroit. Yeah, they're definitely in the market there at 8, and they can do that. I just had that ghost of Eric Ebron just sits there.
Yes.
It just sits there for me. And it's going to be one of those things that this new management, it's Bob Quinn and crew, they don't have to listen to that. But remember what that statement you said to me before, you better be right?
Yep.
Well, that's kind of where it goes to me there. And that's one of the reasons I went to going with Montez Sweat. And don't forget, you get a defensive-minded head coach.
And they spent a ton of money on defense. They want to be Seattle, Charles. They want to run it, and they want to have a big-time D. Why not give Patricia another chess piece here? You may laugh in my face. I have an outright refusal to take a tight end in the top 10. Maybe I'd get fired if I were ever a GM. I just wouldn't do it. It's a value proposition. I would never.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that at all, because we can, you know, we've said that for the longest time now about running back. And we've actually been proven right both sides of the ledger, haven't we?
Yeah.
Because Todd Gurley went at, what, 11, 12?
Mm-hmm.
So he's right outside the top 10. But remember, he was coming off the knee injury. If Todd Gurley doesn't have that knee injury, he's
top five. Yep.
Okay? And would have been proven correct based off of his career thus far, right? Christian McCaffrey got taken at 8. Mm-hmm. But Leonard Fournette got taken at 4. Kareem Hunt, I know all the issues. I get all that. I'm not trying to extol him like a paragon of virtue.
Right? No, it's about talent.
NFL production. Third-round kid. Right? Go through it. What was Isaiah Crowell? What was... See, you go right through the line. You can find that production. You can find that value at that position. And I think it's a pretty deep tight end group this year. So if you don't want to take T.J. Hockenson at 8, you might be able to get Dawson Knox in the second round.
I'm also scarred with top 10 tight ends. I mean, look, from Ricky Dudley and Kyle Brady and Eric Ebron. Now, again, I know
you can go on forever.
Oh, I'm just scared by it. But yes, to me, if I'm sitting there at 8 and I'm the Lions, this is in my mind, a historically great defensive draft. Just don't be the smartest guy in the room. Just take the best defensive player and hand it to your bearded head coach and go, here's a toy, figure it out.
Well, there's one other way to look at it as well. The free agent market has come and gone, but it's still open. We're just not locked in on it, correct?
Yes.
Like, free agent frenzy has happened. When you look at the top available free agents, how many of them are defensive linemen? A ton of them.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because everyone's waiting to see what they can get out of this draft. Younger, cheaper, et cetera. Then they'll go back and supplement with all these defensive linemen that are sitting out there right now. Last year we went through this with the safeties, remember?
My guy, Kenny Vaccaro was out there forever.
No one signed in the safety. Well, everybody drafted them first, and they went back and got the guys that they really wanted. This year the safeties actually came off the board. So where does that tell you where the value is in this draft? There's more value in the defensive linemen than there are in the safeties.
So, all right, here's an interesting one. Now, you've got And I love it. I love the differences. But you've got Broncos going quarterback, Drew Locke, Mizzou.
Yeah.
You got the Bengals going Haskins. That means the Dolphins get left out in the cold. Why Locke over Haskins if Haskins your top guy? Is that, again, a fit play for Denver?
John Elway has spent more time with Drew Locke than many husbands with wives.
Oh, my.
Okay? He really has locked in. There's my pun, right? He really spent that time. Now, that doesn't guarantee that he takes him there, but remember how John Elway played the game? And I'm not saying Drew Locke's John Elway. See, this is what we always run into, right? So we always have to qualify ourselves so that people don't jump down our throats. But how did John Elway play the game? That ball came out of his arm from every angle possible. The footwork wasn't the greatest in the world, was it? Because his arm was so incredible that he could be. And now we're using every – what's our biggest buzz phrases of this run up to the draft? Off platform, off schedule for quarterbacks making throws. Did you see Drew Locke's pro day? They built in off-platform, off-schedule throws to show this is what he does. That's why I put him 10 to Denver. Because I know they got Flacco, but I'm not crazy enough to buy into the idea that Flacco is going to be there forever.
Well, and it's the opposite of Haskins. Haskins must be kept clean.
Haskins has to stay on that platform.
Yes.
He's not the off-platform guy. Despite what other people have said, he's not the super athlete.
No. Oh, my God. He's listen, he's keep not. His feet clean. He'll make every throw if he's on time, on schedule, and doesn't have to move his feet.
What you're concerned about is if he has to do all those things that you just said, will he still be that same guy?
No.
You know, you're going to feel like your offensive line is going to have to carry him for a little while now. So, you know, him going to Cincinnati, for me, my signal was when they said they weren't giving Andy Dalton the contract extension. I was like, well, quarterback, brand new head coach, start over. And, oh, yeah, an Ohio State kid? Makes sense to me.
It does.
But that's why I did it that way, because I just think that fits. But it's going to be interesting because I think Haskins is still in play with Denver. I don't think that's out of line yet. And that would be an interesting deal.
Finally, the days are getting a little longer around here. Put those extra hours of sunlight to work by saving you more money. You can reduce your power bill with help from Power Home Solar, the number one residential solar provider in Michigan, one of the top solar installation companies in the nation. Power Home installs American-made panels, 30-year warranty, allowing you to own your power, not just rent it from the power company. As an official partner of the Lions, the company installed solar panels at Ford Field and Allen Park, and they seek to continue building a movement towards cleaner, greener energy by seeing if solar is right for your home. Go to powerhome.com. That's powerhome.com, or give them a call, 1-800-SOLAR-15, to schedule your free solar consultation today. Don't rent your power, own it, with help from Power Home Solar. Interesting, you have the Packers at 12 going defense at Oliver. First of all, again, are you convinced they go that side of the ball? And give me your spin on Eddie Oliver. I know size is an issue. Just didn't have the year a lot of people thought he was going to have. But Packers at 12 going defense.
Yeah, I don't think they're locked to go defense there. I think that it's a strong possibility because I did a few Packers games last year. And down the stretch, their defensive line depth really got tested. You know, Kenny Clark, I think, is a stud. And I think he continues to be an ascendant player. But once Muhammad Wilkerson got hurt last year, right, they had a few other injuries. Now you're playing guys. Defensive line depth is going to be huge in that division for them. But I will say this. If there's going to be a little bit of a change up there, you know what it'll be to me? Tight end.
That's where I thought Hockenson was basically destined to be, is a Packer.
Yeah, that makes sense. That absolutely makes sense. But here's the thing, one of the reasons I didn't go there. If you look at the Packers' roster of tight ends, they're not going to get the same play ever again from Jimmy Graham.
No.
Not likely. He's not going to be that guy, but I think he can be better than what he was last year. Mercedes Lewis has now become an extra offensive tackle in a lot of ways. He's still a dominant blocker at the point of attack. But they have a kid by the name of Robert Tonyan. Remember that Sunday night game or the Thursday night game in Seattle? Remember Aaron extending the play and throwing that ball deep down the middle to get number 85 from Indiana State? Who the heck is that kid? I saw him in training camp last year and got a few of those, that kid. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'm thinking that they're thinking he's going to jump it up a little. And that's one of the reasons that I went defense there as opposed to going to tight end.
You have, and I think he's one of the most interesting guys. I don't know what to do with him. But you have DK Metcalf going to Seattle. Give me your spin on Metcalf. I've seen him anywhere from 9 to out of the first round. Everyone knows him as the Incredible Hulk, one of the most amazing photos I've ever seen. What's your spin on this kid and the fit for Seattle?
Well, I think that my colleague, Daniel Jeremiah, who leads the draft coverage for NFL Network now, I think during the combine, didn't he say that he's a human Batman suit? I think that was, and I thought that was a great line by DJ, just what you said. Because those pictures that came out of him, A.J. Brown, and the rest of them, that was just ridiculous.
I had never seen anything like it.
I mean, to think those were receivers. And then he went to the combine. Remember, he's been dinged up a lot. Remember, he had the neck issue. He had to still be cleared by doctors. And he ran, 4.33 or something like that at 230-plus pounds? And we all just lost our mind. Go back and look at the shuttle drills, the cone drills, things, the change of direction things.
Not good.
He is a straight line, go over the top of you, right, run through you type of a receiver. Laquon Treadwell came out of there and turned out to be a very similar player, just not as big and strong. I just wonder about change of direction.
Could he be a Mike Evans type, you know, back shoulder fade, red zone?
He can, but Mike Evans is really fast and long. But Mike changes direction a lot better, as you guys have seen throughout his career. You're not just running a very limited route tree with Mike Evans. And with Ole Miss receivers, you also have to project, can they run the route tree? Because their style of offense, you're not.
No, they run a backyard single read spread.
That's not a knock on them. That's college football today. You're going to have to deal with a lot of that coming out. But the NFL is addressing it by meeting these kids halfway nowadays, as you guys have noticed. Here's the other part, too, with DK Metcalf, who I like him as a player. The reason I put him in Seattle was this. Look at the rest of the Seattle receiving corps. Doug Baldwin, Lockett, those are their top guys, right?
Need some size.
They're Smurfs. Metcalf takes up that size before. And remember when Mike Williams revived his career for a short time? Where was it?
Seattle. Yeah.
So I think that type of thing will work and help, because they never quite figured out the Jimmy Graham thing there. He caught a lot of touchdown passes, but he catch a lot of balls in Seattle. I think for Russell Wilson, he could use some relief where he can throw it up to someone and not have to be as precise as you have to be with a Baldwin and you have to be with a Lockett. Although those guys separate a lot better than they probably get credit for because of their quickness. But I think a big receiver there works well. And Pete Carroll, John Schneider, they're very much, tell me what he can do and we'll work with that as opposed to worrying about what they cannot do.
Couple more, and I'm going to let you get back to Christian before his head explodes. You have Devin Bush mocked to the Eagles, and I've seen this so many times, so I'm starting to just believe it. It's almost like by osmosis. But I've seen Devin Bush go as high as 8 or 9. Your read on Devin Bush and the Eagles fit?
Yeah, the Eagles fit for me is Jordan Hicks, when healthy, was a terrific inside linebacker, control that defense guy. But he just couldn't stay healthy the last couple of years. Okay, so Nigel Bradham had to come inside and do that. And he did that just fine. So I don't think it's a pressing need, but it's also an Eagles team now that what do you have to deal with? You got to deal with the Giants and Saquon Barkley, right? You got to deal with Washington and, you know, Jay Gruden, the ability to throw it around when everyone's healthy and flip guys out of the backfield. Okay, so when you're talking about within your own division, that type of a linebacker who can go sideline to sideline, who can cover backs out of the backfield, who can rush the passer when you need him.
Yep.
To me, that fits because Jim Schwartz and that defense, they love to have that guy inside who can take control of their defense from the middle. And I will give you a wild card with him. Oakland would love to have that type of a guy too. And remember, they have 2 picks in that area. Mm-hmm. All right. So it wouldn't shock me at all. They went linebacker in that spot as well.
You have a guy I loved, and he's falling like a rock in this draft, so I'll leave it to someone smarter than I, like yourself, to tell me why. You have Greedy Williams tumbling as well. I know he's not the most physical corner, but I see 6'2", rangy, really nice cover guy, can press, can zone, can do what you want. You've got him going to the Chiefs at 29. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think the Chiefs would be ecstatic, too. I really do. I mean, you saw what the problem was with the Chiefs last year. It's almost amazing that that team was in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
That just tells you the greatness of Mahomes in that offense. Okay? Because give Tom Brady credit, and if there was only one, if there's one play that he would take back from last season, I think it would be that fake run, try and throw it in the end zone in the AFC Championship game to get intercepted. Because they just should have lined up and run over him and gone into the end zone and been up 14. Right? Because that Chiefs team was 31st in the league in run defense. Pass defense was a problem. Steven Nelson, who was a starting corner for them last year, no longer there. You know, Eric Berry no longer there as safety. And it wasn't like the rest of those guys that were filling in were really holding down the fort. They would be ecstatic to get it. This is a personal thing for me, because when I watch Greedy Williams play, I see the potential for greatness on the corner. He has everything you're looking for. Size, length, ball skills, all those things, right? When he locks on a guy, boy, he's pretty darn good. Doesn't tackle very well in terms of run defense. He has said, they didn't ask me to do that at LSU. I am more than a willing tackler. We'll find out, okay? He'll get tested on that, especially depending on what team he goes to. He could very easily go in the top 10. He very easily could, because you know my comparison for him is Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. Look at the body type. Look at the ball skills. Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie came out. Didn't we have the same discussion about him then? Does he tackle anyone? Did anyone care once he came out and all of a sudden he's getting 6 to 8 interceptions?
Right. That's
that's going to be the thing. That's why he could very easily go in the top 10. And I know a lot of us have him down there below. Would not shock me at all if he's the first corner off the board and way higher than what we expect.
Yeah, I just, hey, maybe I'll end up being wrong. Won't be the first time or the last.
No,
but
no,
it's...
Listen, I'm the one who can very easily be wrong. You could end up right, and we'll have this conversation later. But it, for me, it's more of a, I don't even know if it's a personal thing, because I was a deacon, you know, I bring myself into it only for this reason. People think that a lot of the time what happens is the things that you weren't very good at as a player, you probably are the most critical about in other people. I was a good tackler. I was not a knock-em-out killer tackler. So is that why I'm that hard on Greedy Williams? That's what my psychiatrist might say. I think it's a little bit more than that for me. But his ball skills, his instincts, all those things.
Awesome.
Guess what, folks? When we're talking about people who are looking at a corner, that's why he could very easily go top 10, top 15.
All right, last thing, and I'm going to let you go, and it's just this collection. What has happened to the Clemson defensive linemen? They are all tumbling down the board as a whole. What happened here? What am I missing?
Yeah, I don't know, and I'm struggling with that one myself. I think that Ed Oliver has hurt them some, because remember, Ed Oliver started this process tumbling down. Remember, for the last 2 years, we said Ed Oliver's an easy top five guy, right? When this draft process started at the end of this year, and with the year that Ed had at Houston and fighting with his coach about wearing a coat when he's not playing,
yeah,
you know, all those things, all of a sudden Ed Oliver took a hit. Then his pro day came. Did you see the pro day?
Now he's building himself back up.
Oh, boy. Now we're back to, oh, yeah, that's the Ed Oliver we're talking about. And that's why I've seen in some mock drafts from people I really respect, Ed Oliver going in the top five again.
Well, that's why you're hurting my feelings. You got Rashawn Gary going to my Giants instead of Ed Oliver. I think Ed's a better player.
Well, I've got Gary going because of that edge. You know, edge rusher versus the inside guy. I can't play Ed Oliver on the edge. Okay? Going into this draft process, there was actually a strong discussion that I had with three different scouts that said if Ed Oliver doesn't do X, Y, and Z during this run-up to the draft, somebody may say to him, drop 20 pounds and be a linebacker.
Oh, my God.
Because of his height. You know, Ed Oliver's a 6-foot guy.
Yeah.
Okay? Shorter arm, that sort of thing. But his gifts are like Aaron Donald's. Okay? Let's not underestimate those. Now, again, I don't see him as Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald's a whole different animal, and if we redrafted, he'd probably be the first guy taken in his draft. But Ed Oliver has those types of gifts, and you look at his tape from 2 years ago, that guy played every snap, man. He was engaged. I saw him multiple times rush the passer and then 20 yards downfield make a tackle after he's rushed the passer. So don't tell me that he doesn't have motor when he wants to use it. I think this year was a very confusing year for him. And if you are a 21-year-old kid and you have multiple people in your ear all the time about taking care of them, don't get hurt, don't do this, don't do that, it is a hard way to go. And 9 times out of 10, and guys, I have nothing to base this on. I've just seen it throughout my lifetime. It's your own family.
Oh, boy.
It is. And I'm not saying that that's what happened to Ed. I want to be very clear about that. I have no information on that. But how many times have we heard that same story? We've heard it too many times. So you just wonder about that. What do you think it was like for Jadeveon Clowney his last year at South Carolina?
Leonard Fournette, same deal.
Leonard Fournette at LSU.
There's nothing to play for.
Down the line. And it's going to be like that forevermore now because that's just the way it is. But you got to go back and get into that kid and believe what you're getting is the kid you saw before, not the kid you saw that last year.
I think he's going to make people pay.
That's why I think Ed Oliver's climbing back up. And that's hurting some of the Clemson guys, like a Christian Wilkins, who I think is going to be a steal for someone. I think he's a terrific player. Not to mention, you know, he won the Campbell Trophy last year, which is the academic Heisman. So you're getting everything in one package with that kid. So he might very well rise back up before this whole thing is said and done. And I'll leave it with this, guys. As many years as I've watched this draft, the one thing that I come out with every year, I have to keep reminding myself, we start in a certain place in January. We go through certain things, and then after a while, we get tired of talking about kids, and we try and rise other kids and ding the kids on top. And about 2 weeks or so before the draft,
it all flips.
Things kind of revert back to form. My best example, Andrew Luck, Robert Griffin III. Now, they went 1-2, okay, because of Washington moving up. But if you remember, Andrew Luck was the number one pick for 2 years. And then as the draft process went, what was the discussion? Indianapolis is going to be horrible. The offensive line is going to be terrible. And Robert Griffin can actually move. They underestimated Andrew Luck's athleticism, as people found out. He can move. He might be the better pick. And for about a month, that became the story. And then as we got close to the draft, things reverted. Andrew Luck went one, and guess what? The Colts nailed it twice. The Colts, think about them now. Twice they've had very difficult decisions to make at picking quarterbacks. Bill Polian picked Peyton Manning over Ryan Leaf. This crew picked, and I think it might have been Ryan Grigson, even before him, but Jim Irsay's crew, they end up picking Andrew Luck instead of Robert Griffin III, and they nailed it twice. Pretty impressive because both of the other players had their champions. If you go back during that time with Ryan Leaf.
Oh, God.
No one will say it now. I wish we could have truth serum then. I've actually asked two former coaches who were around at that time, and both of them told me they thought at least 60-40 split in the league, with the 60 being Ryan Leaf.
Yeah, because he had all the physical tools. He had that nuclear arm.
And he had that personality that was a little, you know.
Swagger.
And if you bought into that, you got it. Now, those who did their homework, like Bill Polian did, discovered that he was a spoiled, entitled kid who pouted back in Great Falls and said, if I don't start, I'm going to quit. And they let him play. He was going to transfer if they didn't let him play at Washington State. You see where I'm going?
Yep.
And what did you end up with the Chargers?
A debacle.
There you go.
Charles, you are now going to finish laying down lines for Madden 20. You have another mock draft coming out, NFL Network. Anything else going on people need to know about?
No, I think that pretty much is it. I mean, you know, we're going to do our last mock draft right before the draft officially commences in Nashville a week from Thursday, which is going to be a whole lot of fun for everyone. We're all looking forward to that, and I'll just continue to try and keep my job at Madden, and I appreciate them giving me the opportunity to take the time with you guys today and let me continue to keep my job.
Listen, Christian has no choice. He's one of my best friends. He has no choice in this matter.
He's a good man. I don't know if he told you, but years ago I was doing sidelines for TNT during the NBA playoffs. I think 2 or 3 years in a row I got Detroit back in the heyday of Chauncey and Rasheed and then Ben Wallace and those guys. Christian and I are convinced, because I was staying at the Townsend, and I used to walk over to the Varsity all the time and go in the shop. We're pretty well convinced that we actually met then and just didn't know it.
Oh, no, you definitely did, because he would work basically like 18-hour shifts at that joint.
No question. So I'm pretty sure we all met during that time frame.
Perfect.
But now we can say we actually did meet.
Charles, really, really appreciate it. Enjoyed the hell out of it, all right?
Hey, thanks for having me. Always a pleasure. You guys take care of yourselves. And I can't wait to see how it all turns out, because I don't know if there's ever a true right or wrong.
No.
Especially not until we do 3 to 5 years. But it is fun to see how it all spins out, isn't it?
Yeah, can't wait. Charles, always, always a pleasure. And we'll talk to you in the fall for the Sunday show, as always.
All right, look forward to it, guys. Appreciate your time.
You got it, same. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening, as always. Remember, subscribe, rate, review, and if you like what you hear, pass it on. And we'll talk to you next week.